Good morning. I want to welcome all of you to this service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church, where we serve Christ by cultivating mission, inclusion, and community. We are thrilled that you are here on this cool and crisp fall morning with us. If you'll notice, we have a rose on the font, and this is a new thing we're doing. We're celebrating a birth. Anna and Brian Patterson had a baby boy, Andrew Robert Patterson. And so we're just celebrating with them. Hopefully they'll be back in church soon. We want to make sure everyone's aware of that. The second thing I want to do is I want to say thank you for a bunch of things. Two weeks ago, I asked people on last Sunday to bring three things: pledge card, a gift for what was Every Family Feed a Family, which is now Baskets of Love, providing Thanksgiving dinners for people in need. And then I asked for coats. So where are we? I want to say thank you to all of you who brought your pledges or mailed them in. We are already, after 1 week, about at 80% of our goal, which is remarkable after a single week. The second thing, give yourselves a hand. The second thing is, I'm going to tell you about the coats. We were shooting for 100 coats. We're probably closer to 120. So let's go for 150. This would be great. And then in terms of Baskets of Love, we need $12,000. We are almost there. So if you haven't had a chance to contribute to that, we encourage you to do it, because I believe we are going to make the $12,000. Now, two other thank yous, and they didn't know this is coming. The first is to Kathy Dinkaloo. I don't know if Kathy's in here. She completely reorganized and set up our new library. If you haven't been into Fireside and seen how beautiful it is with Kathy's help, please go in and do that. It's really marvelous. The second thing is Kate Gendrushka here this morning? Is Kate or the Gendrushkas? Okay, she is not here this morning. She is one of our high school students, and she did both of the mural pieces out in the hallway. And she has two more that are coming up, and so when Kate's back in, we'll make sure that you see her so that you can thank her personally. They're really amazing and wonderful things. A couple of other things. First, sign up for Advent by Candlelight. All of the women are invited to be part of Advent by Candlelight. It is a wonderful women's evening event, just fabulous to be at. There's a worship service and then goodies afterwards. Fall outdoor cleanup, for all of you who like to get your hands dirty and in the soil this coming Saturday. Show up and help us clean up the outside. Finally, on the 19th, 3 weeks from today, in the evening at 5 o'clock, we have our first ever Feasts of Faith worship service. It is an interfaith Thanksgiving worship service. We will be joined by people from Temple Israel, from the Muslim Unity Center. We will have folks from Roman Catholic, Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist traditions all here worshiping with us. It's going to be a great evening. It's followed by dinner. So come and be part of that. Finally, if you leave here and you're desperate for coffee and cookies, go down the steps, take a left, go down to the Knox Lobby, which is where coffee hour is, where we're celebrating just briefly the life of Tenney Brinkman, down by the Tenney Brinkman Archives. Now, with those announcements made, let's stand and greet one another in the name of Christ. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. Lord, you have been our place of safety. For all of time, you have been present with us. Even as creation was just getting started, your love for us was real. Let your love shine upon us this morning. Help us to do the good you ask of all. Let us worship God.
Please be seated, and would the children join me down front? And if the children will just come sit on the floor here and not on the steps this morning, that would be lovely. So come on down, and if you have your offering, you can drop it in on your way down.
Can be seated. Why don't you have a seat down here?
And what I'm going to do now is ask the third graders and their parents if they would come forward. The choir can have a seat. Great job, choir. As the third graders are coming up, for those of you who are sort of new to First Presbyterian, one of the things that we do, come on up all the way up on the chancel steps, is that in the third grade year, we take our children through a walk through the Bible where they get to explore the scriptures and learn more about them and learn a little bit of sort of the organization of the Bible and the whole story of scripture. And so this morning, yeah, it's nice when you don't have enough room on the chancel for all of your third graders. And families, yeah, just... And so what we're going to do is Tom's found his way down. Here we go, Tom and Donna. You guys may have to be down. There he is. He was lost, but now he's found. And so I'm going to have Cindy Merton introduce everybody. And so when Cindy reads your name, you'll raise your hand. And at that time, if you'll go ahead and give your child their Bible. So Cindy, take it away.
All right. Just wanted to say a word about what the preparation for this special day. We had a couple day class, or two classes, where we walked through the Bible, walked through some of the stories of the Bible upstairs in our crosswalks, hallways, and rooms, and reviewed the story of the Bible. The second night, we looked at overall, what we call our five-part story in this church. From cradle to grave, we teach a framework for understanding the Bible. So the first part of that story is God loves the world, we wandered far from God gives a family, Jesus is the way to God, and the Spirit helps us live God's love. So our second evening together, we looked up stories in the Bible that told that story. And so we hope that as our children get their Bibles, receive their Bibles, take them home, that parents and children together will explore that five-part story over many, many years to come. So I introduce to you now our 14 of our families and their children. So Charlotte Louise Marie Gaillard. Catherine Sky Gumbus. Isaiah James Ingram. Evan Michael Jordan. Benjamin Edward Combs III. Luke Mesner. Jacob Edward Ribbits. Kate Colby Cicluna. Felix Simon. Charles Thomas Snyder. Benjamin James Swisher II. Eli Vanderlaan. Elena Noelle Wallace. And Andrew Kent Waddleworth.
So now, you may think you're just going to get to go back and sit in your pews with your Bibles, but I'm going to put you to work with them this morning, because in my sermon, I'm going to ask you to help your parents find something in them, okay, a passage in them, and you guys probably know where it is, but we'll help you find it if you don't. And so parents, you can help them, and you can help your parents. And this is a unique year to be giving Bibles to our third graders, because as you'll discover shortly, this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation this month. And so what we're doing is we're celebrating the gift of Scriptures, which was one of the great gifts of the Reformation to the people. So let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all of our children, and especially this morning for all of our third graders. We ask that you would help them to read these Bibles, learn from them, and help others to learn of your love through them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, all of you guys can go back and sit with your parents. And if you're looking at your bulletin, I am playing Bethany Pierbolt this morning. Scripture lays out for us a way of life, a way of grace, a way of love, a way of compassion. Unfortunately, we don't always walk in that way. We don't always live this story. But the gift of God is that God invites us into a time of confession where we can turn to God, offer up the places where we've fallen short, and be renewed and set free to try again. So, I invite you to join with me in the unison prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, the Bible tells us that you are at work remaking the world. Forgive us when we forget that we are part of that work. when we forget that we are part of your ancient and always new story. Help us to continue to learn your story, that it might be our story as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Part of what our story tells us is that Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn, but to save. And so let us believe the good news that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Please be seated.
Let us pray together using the printed words of our prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Holy Spirit, shine light into the darkness, turn the night into the day. Give life where there is death. Help us to hear and proclaim your message of hope, that we might follow the risen, reigning Christ. Amen.
Please join me in listening to the word of the Lord. The reading this morning is from Ephesians 2, and you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 192. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So, how many of you would like to find a buried treasure? All right, well, I've got good news for you this morning. There are two that are out there. Now, the first is one that is buried north of Santa Fe, New Mexico. There is a guy named Forrest Finn. And Forrest Finn was an art collector, and what he decided to do was to get people up off the couch. He was tired of people just sort of sitting around playing video games, and he decided he wanted to get them out of doors. So he took just sort of an ordinary box, and in it he put gold nuggets and jewels. worth thousands of dollars. And he went out into the desert north of Santa Fe and he buried it. And then he wrote this 24-line poem that has all the clues you need to find the treasure. And so far, literally thousands of people have tried to go out and follow the clues and find the treasure, and they have not succeeded. So, there's a buried treasure waiting for any of you who want to drive out to New Mexico north of Santa Fe. Now, there's actually a buried treasure a little closer to home. And it's a treasure that I suppose you could say used to be buried, but now is essentially right in front of all of us. The treasure box is in front of each of us here this morning. Now, the treasure box are these. The treasure box are these, because in these treasure boxes are clues to the greatest treasure on the face of the earth. But now, before I tell you where to find the clues, because I know you're already ready to go find the clues, what I want to do is tell you why it was buried. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, before the third graders got their Bibles, for 1,000 years, no ordinary person was allowed to own one of these, to have one of these, to read one of these. And not only were they not allowed to have one of these Bibles, they were not allowed to translate it into their own language. The people who tried were arrested, tried, and often executed. So this treasure box was buried for 1,000 years. And then, when Martin Luther and the other reformers came around, they unearthed it, they brought it up, and they looked in it for clues. And so now I want to take you to the clues, to the great treasure. So if you'll turn, and I want all of you to do this. We're all hunting here this morning. You may have to share. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look. There are three clues in here that we're going to find. Okay? All right. Ephesians chapter 2. It was the passage that we read this morning. So page 192 in the New Testament portion. And this is good for all the third graders who have their new Bibles. They're getting to use them, getting to look it up. All right. So now, I hear pages. We're almost finished turning. We're going to find the first clue. Go to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. The clue is the word grace. Now, I could spend all day trying to come up with definitions of what grace is, but instead I want to use a biblical story, okay? How many of you know the story of the prodigal son? Okay, so for those of you who are not familiar with the story of the prodigal son, it begins that there was a father who had two sons. The older son was the perfect son, the good son, who did everything daddy asked him to do. The younger son was the jerk. And I mean that because he disrespected his father. He said, "Dad, I'm going to treat you like your dad. Give me all of the money you owe me when you die, and I'm going to go off and make my way in the world." And he goes and he squanders it all and he wastes it all. And then he decides that he really did have a good thing at home. But what he believed was that his father would never love him again. And so the only thing he could do would be to go home and to offer himself as a servant, as a slave. And so he goes home. And his father is out, and his father sees him coming in the distance. And his father runs to him with arms wide open and engulfs him and embraces him in this gift of grace. Because that's what grace is. Grace is that undeserved gift of love that comes from those we've hurt, from those we haven't paid attention to. That's what grace is. And so that's the first clue, is that grace is part of what God gives to us. God comes to us with open arms ready to engulf us in God's grasp. The second word, the second clue, again, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through
faith.
Thank you. Yes, Elena, through faith. I'm glad somebody's really. So what's the image of faith? Let's continue with this story of the prodigal son. Faith is what happened when the number two son allowed himself to be engulfed in the father's embrace. Because he could have stopped short. He could have fallen on the ground. He could have said, no, I don't deserve it. Don't give it to me. Don't embrace me. I've done and said things that hurt you, and I don't deserve it. And yet, he tried to tell his father that, but when his father reached out and embraced him, he found himself totally there, engulfed, and he allowed that to happen. And not only that, he then went into the party that his father was throwing for him. Faith is a willingness to accept the love of God that we haven't earned. Faith is a willingness to trust that God is a God of grace, that God is a God who reaches out, who seeks us, who comes for us to engulf us in God's arms. That's the second clue. The third clue, go to verse 10. For we are what He, God, has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The clue is Christ Jesus. Now, one more time, let's return to the prodigal son story. So the father engulfs the son. The son receives this embrace of the father. And then the father does something remarkable. Not only does the father say, let's have a party, the son who is dead is now alive. What the father does is he has them bring out the robe and the ring. The robe and the ring signify that you are part of the family. And what Jesus Christ has done for us is Christ has made us part of this family of God. Christ has put the robe on us and the ring on our fingers and made us part of this amazing community of God, this one world family of faith. These are the three clues to the treasure of the Reformation. Because these are the clues that the reformers discovered, and they discovered them, and it made them completely rethink what the church was about, how they ought to live and act, and how people ought to be able to relate to God in Jesus Christ. These are the three clues, and what's the treasure? The treasure is that we are unconditionally loved by the God of the universe. That's the treasure. That we are unconditionally loved by God. Now I know some of you may say, well, what kind of a treasure is that? Well, let me ask, how many of you have ever had a B.B. King day? How many of you know who B.B. King is? Right, great blues man. Okay, so his favorite song of mine is, "Nobody Loves My Mother, But She Could Be Jivin' Too." In other words, there may be those days when all of the people we think are our friends, all those people who are supposed to care about us and like us, all of those people who we trust and believe in just kind of walk away. They're no longer our friends. They don't seem to care about us. And we begin to wonder if we're really loved, if we're really cared for. And I know lots of people feel this way. They wonder if they're worthy of being loved and cared for. This is the treasure. This is the treasure in this treasure box that we get to pull out in those moments. That when those moments come, we get to learn and know and remember that we are unconditionally loved by God. That God comes toward us ready to engulf us, to make us part of God's amazing family, and all we have to do is allow ourselves to be gathered in by this amazing and wonderful love. And so on this, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, my challenge to you is to take these clues and this treasure with you. And every morning when you arise, say to yourself, "I am unconditionally loved by God, now and always." Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that your love surrounds us, that it engulfs us. Help us to experience and trust in that love, that our lives might be changed forever. In Christ's name, amen. And now, in response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, in this grace and in this mercy, let us return to God our morning's tithes and offerings.
loving and ever faithful God, accept these gifts as a response of gratitude for your love. And even more, take our lives, take us, change us, transform us to be a living response of gratitude for your unconditional love. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Faithful and ever-loving God, whose love is unconditional and forever, there really are no words to describe what that means. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts and our souls to take in that love and allow it to change and transform us to bring your kingdom here on earth. Today we lift before you the world. We pray that you work wonders. We pray that you guide the leaders of all nations to strive for harmony and peace within this world. We pray for our own nation, asking that all leaders here and all of us do our parts and be led by you to bring peace and justice, fairness and equality to every person in this nation. We pray for our church. We pray for all these prayer requests, which will be prayed for individually this week. These are given to us in trust that you hear them, and we know you hear them whether they are read aloud or not. We know that you hear every request, even those that we don't mention. We give you thanks that on this day we acknowledge in particular the gift of your word and its access to all people. Help us to be led by you when we read the word so that we hear it, read it, interpret it, and live it as you would direct us. We celebrate all the joys in this community and the third graders getting their Bibles. And we wrap our arms around all those who are struggling with illness, pain, and death. We know that we are your children, and you will lead us if we but follow. And now hear us, Lord, as we pray the prayer taught by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power in the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Before I pronounce the benediction, I want to, do the ushers, do you have the sheets? If you do, I'd like you to come to this door to hand them out to folks as they come out, as well as in the back. What I have for you, for the kids and for the adults, on one side, it is a wonderful, I know you, my Cindy loves adult coloring books, and this is a wonderful coloring thing about the Reformation. And on the back, it talks about the treasure and the clues and the watchwords of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. Those things that make us who we are as Presbyterians. So I encourage you to grab one on the way out, take it home. And now receive the benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.